A reading from the Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew. Some of the scribes and the Pharisees said to Jesus, "Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you." He said to them in reply, "An evil and unfaithful generation seeks a sign, but no sign will be given it except the sign of Jonah the prophet. For just as Jonah was in the belly of the whale for 3 days and three nights, so will the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights. At the judgment, the men of Nineveh will arise with this generation and condemn it, because they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and there is something greater than Jonah here. At the judgment, the Queen of the South will arise with this generation and condemn it, because she came from the ends of the earth to hear Solomon's wisdom. And there's something greater than Solomon here." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise you, Lord Jesus.
Teacher, we wish to see a sign from you. That demand by the scribes and the Pharisees ignored so many signs that Jesus had already done, feeding multitudes with a few loaves and fish, healing men with withered hands, healing paralyzed man lowered from the roof, walking on water, someone who preached with incredible authority, cast out demons. Jesus, up until this time, had been almost doing nothing except signs. They used to drag all the sick in those towns, and he would touch them, and they would be cured. Jesus had said it once, he had said it twice, he had said it hundreds of times. This is the confirmation of the words that I preach. His whole life was a continuous sign, but they weren't paying attention to that. The first reading, we see what had happened with the Jews. God had worked one sign, a second, a third, a fourth, a fifth, a sixth, a seventh, an eighth, a ninth, and a tenth. And they were freed. And there they are, after God had done that much for them to free them from Pharaoh. When they saw Pharaoh and his charioteers behind, they forgot all that the Lord had done. And they complained to Moses. This would almost become a refrain that they'd say over and over and over again in the desert. Were there no graves in Egypt that you had to bring us out here to die? The Lord gives us continuous signs. But the first thing we need to do is we need to prayerfully reflect on them. Two of my favorite Psalms, 118 and 139. Catalog all the great miracles that the Lord did. And then they'd be punctuated with that refrain every verse, for his love, for his mercy, his hesed, which means both in Hebrew. For his hesed, his merciful love, endures forever. It's important for us to reflect on all that the Lord has done for us, so that in the present moment when we see Pharaoh and his charioteers tailing us, we know that the Lord is not inconsistent, that the same Lord who has done A through Z and double A through double Z and triple A through triple Z for us remains with us. And like Moses said to the Israelites, "Fear not, stand your ground." One of the greatest principles that the early monks in the desert used to describe, I've mentioned it to you before, but especially on a homily dedicated to this theme, it's important to remember, was anamnesis, literally unforgetting. That one of the most important things we need to do is not to forget all that the Lord has done, because all of those miracles set a pattern so that if he doesn't give us that miracle at a present moment, we know that he's still there and we need that particular experience, even if it be suffering, even if it be death, in order to be brought to life. Like the Jews, we need to trace back over our own lives all that the Lord in his goodness has done for us, especially the things of faith. the sacraments he's made available to us, but also the prayers answered, also the great gifts that he's given. A few weeks ago, a friend of mine told me of a miracle work through St. Anthony's intercession. Her sister had lost a very precious earring when she was out jogging. Tiny little earring on a massive street that was 3 miles in length. And she had jogged up and down, and she had no idea where this tiny little earring had been lost. And so they literally, with 6 people, walked all the way down that street and all the way back. They couldn't find anything. It was totally dark. That woman had come here for a holy hour that night, praying to St. Anthony. She was a little strong, having been strengthened by that holy hour. She needed to go out to the store to pick up something for her parents. So she just renewed her prayer to St. Anthony. And all of a sudden, as she was driving down that street about a mile and a half down the road, she just felt an impulse to stop the car right there. It was pitch black. She had her car's headlights on. She got out of the car, and right where she opened her door was that earring. She came blown away by God's having heard her prayer through St. Anthony. And my advice to her was, don't forget the works of the Lord. The Lord does all these little things. He has constantly given us a sign. What we need to reflect on more than anything else is the sign of Jonah, that he is, that he spent 3 days in the belly of the earth and was raised from the dead. This is something we should reflect on over and over again. The Lord who did that can do anything. The Lord who chose a whole bunch of nobodies in the world and sent them out with an unaccomplishable mission by their own powers to preach the gospel to every nation. The God who empowered them to do this is still alive. We need to reflect on that a lot, greatest miracle of all. And then, in unforgetting all that the Lord in his mercy has done, to become ourselves a sign to help others see the miracle of what the Lord can do. Not in terms of these wonders of parting seas or sending plagues or stretching out withered hands or making men who were paralyzed with spinal stenosis and cervical myelopathy walk again. Wants us to become a sign of what the Lord can do when a human being says yes. Today, we celebrate the feast of St. Camillus de Lellis, who's one of the great stories in hagiography of all time. When he was a young man, up until he was 25, he was pretty brutal and rough and a big-time sinner. He was a soldier, he was 6'6", born of a mom who gave birth to him when she was almost 60. And so he basically had the run of the place. He was a terrible gambler. And why do people become terrible gamblers? Because essentially they're avaricious and they just want more and more money and they think they're always going to hit it and make money without working. So he had all those associated vices. After he'd lost it all and literally the shirt off his back in a game, he went into a Franciscan Capuchin house in Naples. He heard a little bit of a sermon that convicted him, and he totally changed his ways. He tried to become a Capuchin, but because his leg was ulcerous and they had no means to be able to care for somebody who was that sick, he went back to a hospital that used to care for his leg. It was there that he started to serve the poor. And he recognized that the people working in hospitals were basically all ex-convicts. Nobody wanted to do that dirty work of changing the deadpans or changing the sores on those who were sick and possibly catching the contagions they had. So the sick got terrible care. So he started to go around asking people to come and serve with him, to serve others as if they were Christ in disguise. And soon got a whole bunch of people working with him. They founded a religious order that continues to this day. And they became a living sign, not only of the power of conversion, but also the power of Christ-like love working through other human beings. That is one of the most effective signs of all. Jesus, when he prayed during that first Mass that we all might be one, he gave two purposes for it. So that the world may know that you sent me, so that they may know that you love them just as much as you loved me. And on the basis of that loving union, Jesus would say during the Last Supper, all will know that you are my disciples, that you love one another as I have loved you. That is the great miracle that the Lord first wants to effect in us, so that we can become a sign to bring those who doubt the Lord's power to conversion. The way we're strengthened to become this sign is the same way that St. Camilla Stellelis was strengthened, right here at Mass, when we receive the full power of the Lord's love within and are capacitated to become this love in the midst of a generation that still seeks a sign.